And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folt. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. And I have to say, Mickey, off the top, that once again, your timing for the topic of this program is impeccable. We are talking about gold, and boy, what a week it has been in this sector, Mickey, with the big giants of the gold mining industry duking it out in a high-stakes game of mergers and acquisitions. This is fun stuff to watch, isn't it?
Well, I just think it's ludicrous what's going on with the major miners. The gold mining business, the majors, have not been profitable since the price started to rise in 2003. At best, any specific major has been profitable at most 2 to 4 years during that 15-year period. Mm-hmm. So the idea you can take one bad major mining company and merge it with an equally or worse bad mining company and make something that's going to reward shareholders is ridiculous. Here's my latest take on this whole thing. Dumb is Newmont, dumber is Goldcorp, and dumbest is Barrick. Dumb, dumber, and dumbest.
Dumb, dumber, and dumbest. Yes. What's that? Part three for the movie, I guess, then.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I'd rather talk about the price of gold and the market than this idea that you can, that merging gold companies is good for anybody.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question, though, before we move on from the M&A activity, Mickey. What does this wave of activity among the giants tell us about the health of the industry, if anything at all? And is there a trickle-down impact on the junior explorers, which is the area of the market that you really focus on?
Well, I think it tells us that what I just said, that these are not companies that you want to own. You do not invest in mining companies, you should speculate in junior resource companies. And I think it also will, after the everything shakes out, it should be of benefit to the junior explorers because these majors are going to start shedding projects willy-nilly as they did the last time that the gold price really started shooting up, which was in 2003. So it should present some opportunities for new juniors, startup companies to take on projects that the majors are, it's too small or perhaps sub-economic deposits that the juniors will go and spend millions of dollars on and show that they're still sub-economic deposits or try to put them in production and fail.
Yeah, that is widely anticipated, isn't it, in terms of, combining two giants in the mining world. They're going to be looking at what they've got, and they will be shedding what they feel they don't really need. Let's move on to the price of gold, though, Mickey, at the time.
Absolutely. Something that looks positive to me.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on to the price of bullion, which you wanted to bring up. At the time of this recording, what we're looking at, about $13.25 an ounce, up about 3.5% since the start of the year, a nice gain of 12.5% since the middle of August. Only a few dollars, though, from where it was trading about 12 months ago.
Well, this is true, Rob, but I'd rather focus on the upside of this. And and my Kitco KCAS chart right now as we speak shows 1329 on the bid, so 1330 on the ask.
Right.
We've had a rise in gold price for 5 months now. If you remember, I'll remind you, on September 28th, price of gold was $1,182. So we've gained 13% since then, and there's a lot of reasons for this. A weaker world economy, especially the Eurozone, specifically Germany and China. This trade tariff talk and snafu between the U.S. and China is really affected the Chinese economy. Shanghai index down 25% last year. other issues, we can go into more detail. I'll just list them right now. Geopolitics, leading to safe haven demand. I already mentioned the trade tariffs. Central bank buying was at a near record last year, especially Russia, Chinese, and the Turks, amongst others.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. interest rates with a suddenly dovish Fed after Trump beat up Powell pretty good in the Twitter bully pulpit. it looks now like we'll only have one interest rate rise this year. But, you know, it's really affected the 10-year Treasury bond, mm-hmm. down from 3.2% in early November to current 2.6%. That's bullish for the gold price. And finally, and more importantly to me, is the seasonal trends for gold. And we can go into that in more detail if you would wish.
Okay, well, let's pick up on that seasonal trends. Aren't we right now in prime wedding season in India? Is that a factor to take into
consideration? No, actually, the prime wedding season is in late September to October. So okay. That's where we see the increasing demand for gold after the summer doldrums. But more specifically, let's look at from November 1 to March 1, and we do these 20-year composites. The average rise during the season from November 1 till the end of February over 20 years is 6.5%.
Mm-hmm.
And so far this year, it's at 8.5%, a rising gold price. So a lot of this has to do with the seasonality of gold. So generally in every year, let's just start at the beginning of every year, January and February, rising gold price. From the 1st of March till mid-June, a flat gold price. Or let's say mid-May, a flat gold price. Then we get about a month rise, and then we're hit by the summer doldrums, mm-hmm. where the price will go down, and you will hit either a seasonal low or a yearly low. And then comes Labor Day, and that's a big holiday both north and south of our respective border. From Labor Day till the end of October, you get hit with the Indian festival season, Indian wedding season. Mm-hmm. So the price of gold goes up. Then it goes flat again until about the 1st of December. Then you get the love trade in the U.S. where everybody's buying gold for their significant other, buying blings. And I generally do that with nuggets. I take them to the jeweler and give my girlfriend some jewelry, and then we're into the new year and the aforementioned January and February rise, and it happens year after year.
Yep.
After year. So if you're going to buy gold, you want to buy it during the summer doldrums, and if you want to sell it, you sell it toward the end of February.
Okay,
you make money.
Okay, now you mentioned central bank buying near a record high last year. And also the Fed cut really changing its posture on the direction of interest rates. It would appear to be willing to sit on the sidelines. It's in no rush to push rates higher. Do you expect the Fed to maintain its current position for the remainder of 2019?
Well, I haven't. You never quite knows what's going to go on. The Fed is like the fourth estate, the fourth branch of government, mm-hmm. in the United States. It operates without oversight and operates as a standalone entity. So you don't know what they're going to do, but it makes sense to me what they're doing right now. They got really aggressive in the late fall, and then Trump started beating them up pretty good, and mm-hmm. and the media, the mainstream media, didn't like that, but every president's done it, just not via Twitter. But they backed off immediately. So unless we see significant inflation, I have an over-under bet right now for the Fed in 2019, and my bet is one raise, and the guy I have the bet on says two raises, so we'll see where that ends up. But those interest rate rises, although they're only a quarter of they're 25 basis points, a quarter of a percent, you know, that can do significant macroeconomic damage to the U.S. When the economy is, as some people would argue, on very long overdue for recession.
Right.
So,
Now we talked about record buying of bullion at central banks, or near record buying. Do you pay much attention to how much activity is taking place with gold exchange traded funds? I ask you that, Mickey, because the World Gold Council apparently says that holdings in gold backed ETFs was up 72 tons in January, up to a level that is the highest level in about 6 years. Is that much of a factor to consider?
Well, it's always a factor, and that comes in with what I already mentioned, Robin. That would be safe haven demand. And some people, you know, and I don't know quite why they consider buying paper gold and ETF as
a safe haven.
Safe haven. To me, the only safe haven is you take the third-party risk out of it. You buy physical gold, and you keep it in your physical possession. Mm-hmm. But that the geopolitical turbulence in the world right now, and for a long time gold didn't really react to that, or you know, within the last year or so, but it appears to now. So we have these ongoing civil wars in the Middle East, Libya. You know, every week somebody else takes control mm-hmm. of a big oil field and refinery in Libya. So you have that. You have the thing that happened a couple of months ago between Saudi Arabia and the Turks, where they murdered the media, the Washington Post guy, and
right.
and Istanbul, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You have Brexit, which mm-hmm. Looks like it's going to come down to the deadline. Nothing's going to be done on that. Turmoil in Brazil. You know, those the corruption and the with past president and
the mess in Venezuela.
Well, that was my end up Trump card there, if you will. The horrible mess in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. You know, proves once again that socialism does not work. No matter what the Dems are saying. In the U.S. right now, mm-hmm. it's never worked. It never will work. Or the only time it really has worked for a specific period of time would be when it evolves into a combination of socialism and fascism, as mm-hmm. did the Nazis and Mussolini in Italy, and we got World War II out of that. So I could go on a whole rant about that, which I won't. But that comes into the safe haven demand equation here.
Okay, but at the same time, though, we have a little bit of easing, perhaps, on the geopolitical fears front, and that is, we have your president meeting with our dear leader in Vietnam.
That's true. We've got that easing of geopolitical risk, although that really has gone by the wayside since the first meeting. You notice the guy hasn't done any nuclear tests or fired any missiles since Trump called him Little Rocket Man and they traded barbs on Twitter or whatever back in August of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But that certainly, if there is success, that will remove another issue of geopolitical risk. Really, what's really hanging over the markets, in my opinion, right now, mm-hmm. Are the U.S.-China trade tariffs.
Right.
And that's affected the price of oil. It's completely removed industrial metals from supply-demand fundamentals. So, you know, this is a bit off topic, but as soon as something comes out of this of substance, the base metals are going to soar. And so lots of geopolitical stuff going on right now, and, you know... Meanwhile, Rob, I've been buying platinum. So
that's a whole other topic, isn't it? Platinum.
Well, it is, and I, you know, now that I've mentioned it and you've mentioned it, I think our next show, we'll talk about precious metal ratios, and they're completely out of whack right now. So,
our next show, Mickey, you and I will be sitting at our favorite watering hole in Toronto across the table.
We will be quaffing a beer or two, and and I guess we'll talk about precious metal ratios next week in Toronto, Rob.
Okay, that is the big PDAC conference here in Toronto, world's biggest mining show. Want to end it this way, Mickey, because you sent out a tweet not too long ago regarding the upcoming PDAC convention saying, be sure to attend Mickey's 11th annual PDAC presentation at the Newsletter Writers Forum on Sunday afternoon, March the 3rd. We guarantee you'll be entertained. What do you got up your sleeve?
Well, the subject of my talk is why I don't want to own mining companies. Hmm. And it is a thought experiment in the typical Albert Einstein methodology of or any physicist do these thought experiments where they take a hypothesis and they work their way through it, and they show whether it works or whether it doesn't. And and my hypothesis is mining companies are an investment, and I think you know where I'm going there. So
yep.
I actually think people will be entertained. You know, it's it becomes a bit of a performance to me. So hopefully I'm on for that. P.m. On Sunday at PDAC.
All right. Great stuff. Nice way to wrap it up, Mickey. And looking forward to getting together with you for a pint of the PDAC. So we'll reconnect in about a week's time or so.
All right. A pint or two or three
okay.
at the PDAC.
All right. Looking forward to it, Mickey. Thanks very much.
Likewise, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.